Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Do you have a radio on in there? Marcia motioned to her friend Katie's son's bedroom. I thought he was asleep. Nah, Sam's having a quiet time and he loves his silly songs CD, Katie replied. He loves to march around following all the directions it gives. Nice work for a four-year-old, Marcia mused. Staying focused on anything these days is a big deal for my Carly. Well, it's probably good for some developing part of his brain, laughed Katie, but it certainly helps my nerves when he can do it in his own room. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about a child's ability to learn through music? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guests have experience in education and in music. Jane Schoenberg has worked extensively with young children, parents, and teachers for over 20 years. She particularly focuses on creative educational programming to enhance cognitive, emotional, and social development. She writes children's literature and has collaborated with her husband, Stephen Schoenberg, on several musical projects. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Jane.
Thank you so much. We're just delighted to be here.
Stephen Schoenberg is an active film, TV, and musical composer, as well as a concert pianist. He and Jane have collaborated on a new book and music project for children, My Body Works, a book by Jane accompanied by music by Stephen. Jane and Stephen Schoenberg live in Massachusetts. They have two children, a daughter, 27, and a son, 24. We're so glad you can be with us today, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda and Sandy. Really happy to be here.
Bones, 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 bones. How many bones are in you and in me? Why, there are 206 bones naturally. Our bones hold us up and they keep us in line. They make the backbone known as the spine. Bones, 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 bones.
That was Bones, 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 which was composed by Jane and Stephen Schoenberg to accompany their book, My Body Works. It's on a CD. Why would you say music is such a good tool for learning?
Well, music is a joyful experience. Whenever anybody listens to music, they're automatically transported to another state. And it's also a very communal kind of experience. So to couple music with learning seems like a very natural thing for us to do as parents and educators.
Does this work better in a group setting or in an individual setting? You were talking about the idea of community.
I think it works together in any setting, basically. We've had experience bringing a whole school together to sing. Maybe 15 or more years ago, the public school systems were just about at the same state that they are today in terms of budget slashing. And I happened to be teaching in a school that the budget was cut to bare bones, and they decided to pull the art and music program.
Doesn't that give you a stomach ache?
Just unbelievable. Yeah. And they did. They pulled it.
Oh, my.
So in thinking about what we could do creatively to compensate for that in some way, I came up with an idea to bring the whole school together once a week on a Wednesday morning and sing. And because I'm married to this fabulous composer and pianist who's sitting next to me here, Stephen,
so kind.
I asked him if he would be willing to do that, his schedule permitting, and he said yes, he certainly would. And so every Wednesday morning, we came together as an entire school from preschool through sixth grade, and we sang together.
It was called Community Sing.
And we called it Community Sing.
What a lucky school. What a lucky community.
It brought everybody together in such a warm and incredible way. We ended up coupling sixth graders, sitting with the preschoolers. Everybody had a sing buddy, and we introduced kids to all kinds of music.
We had a big book with the words printed on them so they could follow the words as they were learning the songs.
And we would invite a half a dozen kids up at a time to lead the songs. So many things came out of this experience.
A lot of social skills, collaboration. When you're 5, 6 years of age, and then there's someone that's 9, that's a big difference. And suddenly you're put together in a group, in a very small group on stage, and you're working and you're communicating together and you're singing together.
And feeling strong and feeling confident and getting self-esteem to be up in front of a group of 200 people leading an activity like that.
That's an example, a large example, but what about just a parent and their child? That's a very intimate example.
My son has learned the words to a lot of children's songs recently. We have a almost 14-month-old granddaughter, and it's so much fun for me to see my grown son singing all these children's songs and dancing all around, and my granddaughter loves the music. She has certain songs that she responds to, and she dances, you know, she can't even walk, but she dances in her own way, and it's so much fun for us to see, and I'm so thrilled that she likes music.
We see that when we're doing book signings, whether it's for 20 or 50 kids with their parents, and they're just up and dancing all around.
And the kids that can't
singing
walk
the songs,
are bopping up and down. I think that babies dance before they walk. You know, that wobble kind of baby dance?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I don't know where I read this, but I read somewhere not too long ago that music, there's a real primal piece to it, that it's built into the human body in some way. It sounds like you're finding that, that everybody has some part of this. Maybe it's the rhythm connection or something.
Music is just another language, grammar and syntax. It's a way of communicating, and what's wonderful about it is that you don't need words to communicate. So songs have words and music, but you're really talking about just the essence itself, rhythm and melody, something that we're connected to, and it's probably we were first connected to rhythm.
Mm-hmm. With the heartbeat.
And we have that inside of us. Mm-hmm. That's something that we do when we're singing the heart song in the book, which is called Keep the Beat. And we have the kids jump up and down for 15 seconds and then stop and put their hands over their heart with their eyes closed so that they can not only feel their heart beating with their hand over it, but they can actually hear it.
About empowerment.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is about. We're all about empowering kids. We're all about putting projects out that really promote self-esteem and responsibility and empowerment.
How did you choose the subject matter for this learning project?
Well, we've tossed out ideas about what we wanted to do, and we have a couple of other ideas that we've been working on.
We finished.
Along with this. Yeah, we're pretty much finished with
two other projects.
But we felt that coming out with the first project that was about the body, it's a perennial topic. Kids are naturally curious about their bodies. They start learning about their bodies as soon as they come out of the womb, basically. And we watch them learn about their bodies. It's so fascinating to see a child explore through their five senses their environment. So because it is a perennial topic and children begin to study about the body in preschool and right through elementary school as part of their health curriculum across the country, we thought, what a great place to start. And also because today so much attachment has been put on this healthful awareness and eating properly and so forth and so on, we wanted to give kids an idea that they could take responsibilities for their bodies and make healthy choices about what felt right for them to do.
And we wanted to do it in a fun way, mm-hmm. not throw it in their faces. And that's where the music came in.
Right, right. Because we're all about having things be educational and informative, but we're also really about having projects be engaging and fun and thoughtful.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think some children learn better just from the book? I mean, you've done a project that is a book beautifully illustrated with music that accompanies it. Children learn all different ways.
They
I'm
do.
Just curious about how the visual and auditory parts complement each other or work separately.
I think the music is a hook. I think music draws you in. I think that music, when played, initially puts people at ease and makes them comfortable. And as an educator, I think that the most important thing we can do is set up environments where children feel comfortable, because if they're not comfortable and they don't feel safe and they don't feel empowered, they're not going to take the risks they need to learn. So the music is the hook to bring them in. It's fun, it's engaging. The written symbols, the words are there as well, which promotes literacy. And if a child doesn't want to hear the music, then they can read the words or have the parent read the words. Some parents have told us that they have started out introducing the book just reading the lyrics to the child and not putting the music on. So they're there together. We think one enhances the other, but certainly they can be introduced separately.
I do think it's easier to learn facts and information with music. I mean, if I say, tell us the ABCs, what are you thinking?
Everyone sings.
Absolutely.
I mean, are we going A, B, C, D? Well, that's how we learned. Mm-hmm. And also, when we learned it with the song and we're writing the symbols down, it's still A, B, C, you know. So we're making that connection. And also, because it's rhythm, rhythm to words informs us without throwing it in our faces, the accents and the unaccented part of the word, so how to actually say the word. In music, in songs, you can play with words. You can sing a word not the way that it's really said, as a playful thing. But normally, when you sing a song, it's really the way you say the word. Mary had a little lamb. You wouldn't say, Mary had a little. It just wouldn't make sense with it musically. So that's another thing that the music does. It really does help us learn.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on music for learning.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Jane and Stephen Schoenberg about using music to help children learn. What should parents know about how young children learn? You're seeing this every day as a teacher. We're talking about using music for that. What kinds of things do we need to keep in mind?
I think that young children learn best when material is presented to them in a context that makes sense to them. So young children learn from being part of a hands-on experience. Primarily, young children learn through play. And they learn through social experiences. So being cognizant of that, being aware of that, it should hopefully allow parents to relax a little bit more in a society today that is constantly pushing parents and teachers to present lots of information in limited amounts of time.
For a specific exam, a test.
I think that childhood is so brief. We should be able to relish every moment of it and allow children to be children for as long as they can. And so that's by allowing them through their imaginations, you know, through dressing up, through pouring things in a water table or a sink, through helping the mother or father set the table or sorting laundry by colors. These are kinds of activities that take place in the home that are natural and will have meaning.
To learn that it's okay to make mistakes, because you have to make mistakes in order to get it right. And so you want to be able to be in an environment where the child can learn and feel safe to make the mistakes necessary.
I think this would be a very good point for you to talk about improvisation as a part of that. Yes.
Improvisation is the spontaneous creation of anything. We're doing it right now, and we feel safe doing it because we have a certain command of grammar and syntax, the language that we're speaking in. It's the same with music. To improvise musically, you have to have a certain command, but our son, for example, was 3 years old when he sat down at the piano and just started playing. I was two when I was introduced to a piano, and I sat down and I knew what I was doing. But I had no training, no knowledge, no academic learning, no books that I had read. So,
but you had a sense that this is where you were supposed to be, that sitting down and making whatever sounds you were making felt good and right for you.
So improvisation is just, if I can say it as it relates to language, to the spoken word, all it is, first of all, you're not afraid to begin. That's the first thing. The first step is the actual first word, or in music, the first note. Because that note follows the next note, which follows the next note. So that word follows the next word, which follows the next word. And suddenly there's a conversation, whether it's in music or in language.
So we need to give our children permission to experiment and to try things and not to have to hew to the line in whatever the subject is.
That's right, because when you're improvising, we're making mistakes all the time, and those mistakes become the next phrase or the next direction that we're going into.
Or a learning block.
You know, you play, if I could get on that piano, I'd show you what I mean. You know, I could start playing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and all of a sudden that can become the blues. Because a mistake was made, and that mistake reminded me of something about another style of music, and suddenly I'm playing the blues. And you feel, as the listener, very comfortable going right into it, following that little journey.
Probably we need to hit the idea that we had two prodigies. One sat down at two and one sat down at three, and we've got parents listening and thinking, all right, the kid is four. We better get him music lessons. We got to strike while the iron's hot. You want to talk about that?
As parents, I think one of the first things that I certainly learned from my parents, and I was very lucky, I had great, still have great parents, was besides the support of you as just a tiny little newly born, welcome to the world being, there were very little expectations of me. My parents let me be who I was.
They didn't.
And that's the
scoot
first
you
step.
Off to lessons real fast and so
no,
forth.
No, no. And with our son, it was very interesting. Although both our son and daughter took piano lessons, but it really was our son who just showed this musical sensibility. But as talented as he is still, at a very young age, he was taking piano lessons, and he was extraordinary. And one day he said, I don't want to take anymore. Well, you know, here's a father who went to a conservatory, is a composer. He says this, and when we were so stunned, but we didn't do anything about it. He didn't want to take anymore. That was his course. We did not force anything upon him at all. And now he's getting his doctorate in music at Juilliard, music composition. But I think it's important, this is just the philosophy now of parenting, in a sense, to be surprised and be awed by your children, as opposed to want your children to be something that you want them to be.
That's very important.
Very well put.
In any subject.
Do you think there's a danger that with all the materials available to today's parents, a child's home could turn into a classroom?
Well, in a way, I think that the child's home is their first classroom. And I feel that a parent really is the primary teacher. So, given that, I think, again, the society that we live in today, we're so technologically based, and we really live at a very accelerated pace. And though technology is really a wonderful thing, I think that sometimes people forget the most basic kinds of learning that can happen outside of that. And if I had one wish, it would be for parents to just breathe and slow down and realize that their children are naturally curious and that they're born to learn and that they're born to integrate information and that they're really wired to ask questions and that when they're curious about something that they will ask. And they can relax because as a teacher, I can tell you that pretty much everybody always ends up getting what they need to get. It may be at a different pace. I mean, your child may not be reading by the end of kindergarten. My goodness, I mean, it was never kindergarten before. By the end of first grade, let's say, or even second. But eventually your child will learn how to read. And during the process of not having a skill, it's so important for that child to feel like they're important, that they're not failing. Well, for me, it's about, and has always been, even in all the years that I've taught, about finding that creative strength within that individual. And if there's a weakness, you get to the weakness through that strength. But by empowering that child through that creative strength and skill and talent, whatever word you want to use, then you're going to make them feel like they can do anything. And you know what? I believe they can.
There was a nice book written about that a few years ago.
We believe that, too. We wrote a book called Parents as Mentors.
And that's what it was about.
That's really the whole thesis
of the
book.
There you go.
That's it. That's a nice way of putting it.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on music for learning.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Jane and Stephen Schoenberg, author and composer of My Body Works, about using music to help children learn. Stephen, My Body Works and all these songs that are in this book, do you have any favorites?
That's a tough one. I know that I sang two of the songs, and I definitely had a really good time singing Everyone Passes Gas.
I knew that.
I'm so surprised.
But you know, it's not a male thing. It's not a guy thing. No, it really isn't.
They get older, but they don't.
But we all do it. So,
and that's the point.
Yeah, and that
was
the point. But I had a great time because it was just me on the piano. All the other songs were live with a band. Mm. And then suddenly, you know, we decided to do Everyone Passes Gas. And everyone was having a great time laughing. And someone came out and took a camera, a video. And it was the only song that happened in.
Last night at dinner, I ate too much stuff. I should have listened when Mom said, enough. Instead, I kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating some more. I ate till my tummy felt funny. My tummy felt sore. Soon I felt better, I just didn't mind, when I heard some gas pass from somewhere behind. I wasn't embarrassed, I didn't feel shy, 'cause everyone does it, yes, everyone does it, the whole world does it, and I'll explain why.
I'm not sure if that's my favorite song, but that certainly was a blast to do.
No pun intended.
Is there any advice you would want to give parents about using music with young children?
I think it should just be fun, and I think it should just be natural. I think that there's nothing more exciting than having your 14-month-old granddaughter Zoe open up a cupboard and find a metal bowl in there and then be handed a wooden spoon and having her go at it.
There's music.
There's music.
There's a special drawer for that purpose. Yeah. Absolutely. You have to open that drawer and take anything out and make a lot of noise.
Exactly.
And this is when you take your children, which we have done, to a restaurant, and they're all absorbed in different levels of water in the glasses and the silverware.
Yeah, that's a great sound.
Making them aware of sounds that just exist in nature. I mean, again, going back to slowing down, just hearing the wind, hearing the birds. I mean, all of that is music. We're surrounded by music. And for me, it should just be a natural process.
Which is why I think they invented grandparents. Mm. Because you don't have to be in a hurry to do that.
There
and
you
parents
go.
Are generally in a hurry.
Just to love and accept.
So. Well, we wish we could continue this conversation because we're loving every minute of it.
So are we.
And so are we.
But now we have to leave our listeners with any resources that you would recommend besides My Body Works, Songs About Your Bones, Muscles, and Heart, and more, with a wonderful CD and a lovely, beautifully illustrated book.
Thank you. I guess I would just say that it's been our experience that experience is the best teacher.
Well said.
Well, we have had a wonderful experience here, and we are so grateful, Jane and Stephen Schoenberg, for being with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy and Linda.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of My Body Works, Songs About Your Bones, Muscles, Heart, and More by Jane Schoenberg and Stephen Schoenberg. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a help to us. It's 1-800-791-8573 and mention show number 269. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. My Body Works and Washington, D.C. with Kids, our latest book, are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.